Today I want to talk about the power of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." I was in Springfield doing a campaign down there, and I got teamed up with a man that was a pretty interesting guy. I got to talking to him, and he was a Pentecostal preacher. And I said, "Why did you give up? You made a lot of money, didn't you?" "Yeah," he said, "I gave up a lot of money." And I said, "Why? What got you to do that?" And he said, "The Bible." He said, "Somebody asked me a few questions, and I got to studying the Bible. And that got me on the right track. It was the Word of God that did that, and it is powerful." So I want to talk about how God displays his power in significant ways. I know some of you have probably been involved in some weather incidents that have been pretty rough. I know when I was in Carlsbad, New Mexico, there were two incidents that were really interesting. One of them was a baseball-sized hailstorm. And, of course, we had a skylight in our house, and I had a truck out there. And it just beat it to death. I thought, you can't even survive in something like that. And God can control that. About the same time Mount St. Helens went off, and we're about 1,800 miles away, and my car is covered with dust from Mount St. Helens. Of course, God has more power than that. He can control that. That's nothing to him. But it was just amazing to me, his power through these storms, through the tornadoes, through things like that. But he has such power. I want to wake up to that, maybe you and maybe especially me. Ephesians 3 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." Zig Ziglar told a really interesting story, and you've maybe heard this, about this Indian chief that lived back in Oklahoma, lived back there in the woods, and he didn't have any contact with society, really, but he won a big fancy Cadillac. So he wanted to show off the Cadillac, so he had it go down through town, and when he was going down through town, he was waving at all of his friends that were at the front of the stores and stuff like that. The interesting thing about it was he had four horses pulling that Cadillac down through town. He didn't realize he had 400 under the hood. All he had to do was turn the key. Can we be like that in the church? Can we be like we're having four horses pulling us down the trail when we have all that power that God can give us? I want to think about that, awaken the church to the power that is there that we can tap into. He illustrates his power through the creation. "I have made the earth, the men, the beasts which are on the face of the earth by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight." He created this world. He created us. He created the beasts. Evelyn and I were watching that story about the butterfly. Maybe you've seen that's a CD that's floating around about how the butterfly works. The caterpillar crawls along, and all he does is eat. And then pretty soon he makes the chrysalis, makes the cocoon. This just shocked me. That caterpillar liquefies. His body liquefies and is reformed into the body of a butterfly, and they've done a lot more research on that. It's absolutely astounding. And then the butterfly comes out of the cocoon and flies off and does what butterflies do. Absolutely amazing. Does that gets you to thinking about becoming a Christian? We're like that caterpillar, and then as Christians fly off, we have that reward waiting for us. His power in creation, his power in judgment. Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm in his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet." We all know the story of Noah, don't we? God got fed up with the way people were doing the sin in the world, and he eliminated the world and saved Noah and his three sons. We know that story. God gets to a point where he is going to come down with judgment. I like Sennacherib from Nineveh. He brought 185,000 troops and surrounded Jerusalem. 185,000. If you put four abreast, they would line up for 20 miles as they came wandering through. And he said, Hezekiah, don't listen to Hezekiah. His God is not going to deliver him. Don't pay any attention to them. And he boasted about that and bragged about it and just harassed Hezekiah. But Hezekiah got on there and he prayed. And God sent down, what? One angel. One angel that eliminated 185,000 troops. Do you not think there's power in God? Absolutely. Power in creation, power in judgment, and most of all, power in redemption. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the most important things in the Bible. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas and the 12 and over 500. In redemption, the power is there as God raised Christ from the dead. We can tap into that power. In Romans 1, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the power that God had to do that. Power in redemption. Three boys were talking, and one of them said, you know, my dad, he puts words on the paper. He gets $50, and they call that a poem. The other little boy said, well, my dad puts words on a paper, too. And they gave him $100, and they call that a song. The third one says, well, my dad, he puts words on a paper and calls it a sermon, and it takes four men to gather up all the money. So there's power in words, isn't there? You can hurt somebody severely with words. You can encourage somebody with words. God's power is in the word. God's power is in words. Wissam Yusuf was in Baghdad, Iraq. He was a Muslim, and he got to thinking something is wrong with this religion. So he wound up getting a copy of the book of John. And he read the book of John. He thought that was the whole Bible. So he read that, and he got curious about that, and he decided he wanted to know more about Christianity, and somebody got him a Bible. And he read that Bible over and over, and he determined that he needed to believe in Christ, repent of his sins, and be baptized for forgiveness of sins. He looked for somebody to baptize him for 12 years. And he finally found somebody that said, if you come up into the Kurdish country up in northern Iraq, we will come across the border and we will baptize you. He knew when he was looking at those 12 years that if he told his family or friends or anyone else, they would put a death sentence on him. So he wound up going into northern Iraq and he was baptized. And that's a picture of it right there. Well, he didn't avoid the death penalty. His mosque found out about it, and they got three men and tasked them to go kill Wissam. That was what they were due. Those three men, each one of them, within a week, was killed by a severe accident of some kind. Something happened to each one of them that they were put to death that happened to it. Is that coincidence? I don't think so. I think that is the power of God. Wissam wound up coming to the United States. He wound up in northeastern United States, found a congregation up there, and his goal is to talk to every Muslim that he can find that will listen to him. Amazing character. So he wound up going to a school of preaching. and he got his certificate to preach, and he's doing that right now, going around to as many Muslims as he possibly can. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So God's power is in the creation, it's in the judgment, it's in the redemption, it's in the power of the words, and it's in weakness. Robert Reed has cerebral palsy. He has no control of his hands, no control of his feet. He has to be fed. Most everything he does has to be done for him. He went to Portugal as a missionary by himself. He would go to the restaurants on the off times, usually between lunch and supper, when there was nobody in there, and he would ask the waiters to feed him. And they would. They would. Then he would go out into the park, and he would set out into the park, and people would come along and say, "I want to give you some money." He says, "I don't want your money. What I want is to talk to you about the Bible." In one particular town, he converted 30 people just talking about the Bible. Rosa is his wife up there. Rosa is one of the ones that he converted. And Rosa is an American character too. He stayed in Portugal for 35 years talking to as many people that would listen to him about the gospel. Paul talks about power and weakness. Wow, Robert Reed, talk about weakness. I can give you a list of excuses a mile long of why I'm not going to Portugal. But none of them can compare to what he did, can they? And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" Absolutely amazing story. If we can just erase the word impossible. You know, I look at this building out here that's going up, and it's because of you. You know, no, and God has given us the ability to do that. But it is exciting, isn't it, when you see this building that's going up? And that gets all around town, and people kind of converge on that and when they go around and see this new construction, what's going on? What's this church doing? What's happening out here? They must be doing something. So it would be impossible for one of us to do that, but for us to do that together, it's really exciting, isn't it? Sometimes I get to thinking about it and say, we can accomplish all kinds of things. If we can get that building built, there's no telling what we can do, isn't there? We get out there and get impossible out of our name, out of our mind. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Nothing is too difficult for you," talking about God. Matthew 19:26, "With God, all things are possible." And Ephesians 3:20-21, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Thanksgiving time is really an interesting opportunity, isn't it? Many of us have family out there. Some are Christians, some aren't Christians. I know Ty talks about when his family gets together, there's a group of atheists on one side of the room, and on the other side there's a group of Christians. And then another one was telling me on one side of the room is some Christians, and on the other side of the room is a transgender that all of a sudden fell into that category. And sometimes we think, man, it's impossible to teach these people about God. But it isn't. We can do all things through Christ who works within us. He has that power within us. Deuteronomy 8:17-18 is when the children of Israel had come into the promised land, and they had all those beautiful homes. They had all that food to eat, all the good things you can think of. And God tells them one thing. He says, otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may conform his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Sometimes we look around, or I can look around and say, boy, I did this, or I did that, or I have this, or I have that. And in a day, I might not have it. I might not be here. But it's all from God, and it's all God's, and we take care of those things and do those things. I'm going to close. You guys are going to get out early today. You can get to the... I don't have a lot to... I thought, wow, you know, I got about 30 minutes here, but it goes by really fast. Oh, I want to close with Mark Hamilton. I when I was sitting in church, this was years ago out of 63, old Mark walks in, and he's got tattoos everywhere, and he's got long hair over there, and he's got a big old beard, and I don't know whether to invite him to sit down or call the police, one or the other. This guy, you know, I don't know what we're going to get into with him. Mark went to town. He was in a motorcycle gang. And he said, we're brothers. He said, that's the biggest lie that's out there. We're not brothers. We knife each other in the back as soon as we can. We steal each other's stuff, even take each other's wives. He said, it's horrible to be in that. Well, Mark, what got you into church? Well, I went down to the bar, and the bar was closed. It was Sunday, and the church was open. So I went to church. I met this girl, and she started talking to me and got me interested in it. And he became a Christian. We would go down to the prison together. And his knowledge of life, of his concern and care for the prisoners, and his perspective on things, there's things that I never thought about. Here's this guy coming out of a motorcycle gang that becomes a Christian, and he's teaching me all kinds of things about how to deal with people who are in that kind of situation. He was an amazing character, and he was a true Christian. He converted, like, from one end of the extreme to the other. He used to tell me stories. We would go into a restaurant, and two of us, and there'd be a line. We'd just walk up to the front and push them out of the way and get in line. And he said, that didn't bother us a bit. And he said, nobody was saying anything. They were scared of us. So they saw our motorcycles out there, and they knew who we were. And he said, I came from the total opposite of what you can come from and became a Christian. And he did amazing things for the Lord. And unfortunately, he had a heart attack and died one day. And I sure miss him to this day. But it goes to show you that there isn't a person out there that can't obey the word of God and become a Christian and accomplish things that they never even thought of that was possible. I know when we first became a Christian, Evelyn and I went, we got assigned this study to go do a study. And we went out to the guy's house, and he was standing out in the front yard, and I thought, oh, man, that guy looks like he's a 6'10" giant. So we went around the block, finally got up the courage to go up there and talk to him. And we did everything wrong when you do a Bible study, how they teach you how to do things in the Bible. We did it all wrong. But the guy became a Christian anyway. It amazed me. It actually amazed me. And then I went to some of the evangelism studies on how to do that kind of stuff and did a little better. But anyway, the word of God is so powerful. I want to ask you to remember that this Thanksgiving. If we can get people's nose in the Bible, not what we think or what we say, but what the Bible says, amazing things can happen. Some of you might be thinking, I need to become a Christian, but coming forward is too scary. Tell with Psalm that. Tell with Psalm that it's too scary to come up in front of people. Or sometimes I'm afraid to go out and talk to somebody. Tell Robert Reed that you're afraid to do that. I don't think we could do that. So anyway, we're offering you the opportunity to come forward and be baptized, come forward and rededicate your life, or talk to one of the elders or one of the preachers if that'll help you. So if you have a need, please come forward as we stand and sing.